I'm Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is December 1st, 2012. The website is theskepticarena.com. Somehow I found my way to the website It's Nobody, where I read an article that sounded like it had been written by a pimply-faced teenager on bath salts. It was titled, The Threat That Atheists Pose to Science. Like similar drivel on his site, it was monotonous, repetitious, and childlike. But instead of responding to the essay like I usually do, I changed my plans when I noticed that the comment exchange between the author and a bunch of commenters was far more interesting. So I'm going to present an analysis of the author's replies to various commenters, because it is excellent practice for critical thinkers who have to deal with people at all levels of mental competency, or in this case, mental incompetency. The commenters rightly pointed out that the author, It's Nobody, sounds like a Poe. However, for the purposes of training, let's just take the author at face value. Besides, it's irrelevant whether or not he's a Poe, because even if he is, there are many others out there like him who are completely serious. Here is the about page of It's Nobody. Who am I? Around 2007, upon arising from higher states, I started awakening this strange innate ability for argumentation logic that I have, which surpasses even Aristotle and William of Ockham. I started unintentionally getting involved in lots of arguments and debates. This happened when I entered into higher states and started seeing all arguments in systematic patterns. I first realized that I had this ability when I independently re-derived Occam's razor sometime around the beginning of 2007. But during that time, I had no formal knowledge of argumentation logic at all, like nothing. So I had never heard the words Occam's razor before. Since I lacked all formal knowledge of argumentation logic, and since I was completely independently reasoning things on my own, I would explain what Occam's razor, not knowing that there even existed such a phrase or principle called Occam's razor. Instead, I would say something like making the least possible amount of assumptions when you conclude this. Then later on, I discovered there was a principle in logic called Occam's razor, which is precisely what I rediscovered. I figured out that every single logical fallacy is simply a violation of Occam's razor. From then on, I could easily, instantaneously spot any illogical argument and give a detailed explanation as to why it's illogical, even if I hadn't known the formal name for the logical fallacy. I could explain why it's illogical. The higher the state I enter into, the easier it is. Of course, later on, after gaining some formal knowledge of argumentation logic, I could give clear explanations of things in very high details. My innate ability for argumentation logic is probably as high or higher than the innate ability that Euler or Ramanujan had for theorems and mathematics. I realized that I could understand argumentation logic and reason things much easier than others. I also began having an overflow of original thoughts, seemingly random ideas, and other strange experiences displaying high intuition. I don't really know what's going to happen next in the course of the future, but now I can finally share and preserve my thoughts online with this blog. With the highest innate ability for argumentation logic, probably the highest that ever existed, high intelligence, high intuition, and high originality, I wonder how much of my knowledge I should share with the world and how much I should keep secret. So, after reading his about page, I think we can all agree that he is certifiable. Here are a couple of samples of the kinds of comments he was drawing. One commenter said, "What is going on with the author of this blog? Taking all bets. 2-to-1 odds for a Poe, 3-to-1 for mild schizophrenia, 5-to-1 for an angry teenager who has learned to use big words like argumentum ad hominem, 10-to-1 for narcissistic personality disorder. Another commenter wrote, "I vote for young, self-absorbed prick." And another said, "I vote delusional religious freak." Now let's analyze some of the replies from It's Nobody. He replied to the commenters by saying, "We can see from the comments here from atheists that atheists are stupid, idiotic people who value authority and incredulity above everything else and are basically subhuman in terms of intelligence." Mr. Nobody, that's an interesting comment coming from someone whose every response is a whine about personal attacks. It's amazing how common it is for those who are afflicted with a defect to be the last ones to know about it. He wrote, "Here's a summary of atheist responses." And then he has a list that he calls ad hominems. "He's crazy, an idiot, thinks he's smart, self-delusional, made some grammar error, etc." Mr. Nobody, go back and reread your last comment. You are calling the kettle black. A classic case of psychological projection. He wrote, "How boring and unchallenging for me. But then again, what more can we expect from subhuman atheists?" Mr. Nobody, haven't you ever heard the phrase, "When you're in a hole, quit digging"? Guess not. He said, "I don't know how anyone can be gullible enough to believe what atheists say." Mr. Nobody, another interesting observation coming from someone with imaginary friends. If you look up the word gullible, Mr. Nobody, a thumbnail of your butt is right next to the definition. He wrote, "As for my reasons, I have independently re-derived Occam's razor, figured out that all logical fallacies are simply violations of Occam's razor, and have the ability to explain in high details why an argument is illogical, all without any formal knowledge of argumentation logic." Mr. Nobody, you didn't have to tell us that you lack formal knowledge of argumentation and logic. That's pretty obvious to everyone. Occam's razor has probably been independently derived by millions of people who intuitively understood that adding unnecessary complexity to an argument only weakens the argument. But they didn't open up their feathers like a peacock and strut around as if they found the Holy Grail. Here's one for you, Mr. Nobody. One of the main arguments against belief in the Bible is Occam's razor. That brings into question your understanding of the concept. Perhaps your independent derivation wasn't as close to the real thing as you would like to believe. Claiming that all logical fallacies are simply violations of Occam's razor is exactly the kind of conclusion one would expect from a ghost worshiper. You need to reduce everything down to a simplistic level that you can understand. And even then, you got it wrong. He wrote, "Well, I declare myself the winner of this debate so far." Mr. Nobody, haven't you ever seen what happens to football players who start celebrating their touchdowns at the 5-yard line? Splat. He wrote, "How boring and unchallenging." Mr. Nobody, here's a challenge that will help you relieve some of that boredom. Find your way to a dictionary and look up how to spell unchallenging. It doesn't contain a hyphen. He next wrote, "By what reasoning have these subhuman atheists concluded that I am delusional?" Actually, Mr. Nobody, reasoning was unnecessary. Just reading your attempts to write coherent thoughts are enough to convince anyone that you are one serious head case. He said, "Which one of my statements is flawed or incorrect?" Mr. Nobody, every time a commenter points one out to you, you scream ad hominem, which ironically proves that of the one and only logical fallacy of which you are aware, you don't even understand that one. He wrote, "All of them are true and flawless." Mr. Nobody, that's called an assertion. It's also eerily similar to the Bible's claim of inerrancy. Now I get it. A God complex with a face full of pimples. No wonder your mind is such a mess. He wrote, "I have asked atheists for reasons and all they have are ad hominems." Mr. Nobody, I've read many of those comments, and it is clear that you are misusing the term ad hominem. But thanks for going out of your way to prove your earlier claim that you are untrained in logic. So that makes one you've gotten right. He wrote, "I don't even know how it's possible for anyone to be as stupid as an atheist." Keep digging, Mr. Nobody. He wrote, "Who can drop to the atheist level of stupidity?" Mr. Nobody, keep going and there won't be a rope long enough to pull you up. He said, "It's always a great laugh to see an atheist open up that slick, thick, atheistic skull. They are truthfully the dumbest forms of life." Mr. Nobody, I left that comment in just in case anyone in the audience had any doubts left about your sanity. You really are quite the little nutball. He said, "Silly atheists, you're just no match for me. All you can do is copy from what I and other theists taught you." Mr. Nobody, Muslims are other theists. How do you justify dismissing their beliefs? Believe me, they justify dismissing yours. He wrote, "Hi there, Mr. Fool. Where in this article have I claimed that I am a believer in biblical inerrancy?" Mr. Nobody, if you don't believe in biblical inerrancy, how do you know which parts are the fairy tales? He said, "This entire time, no one has refuted any statement that I have made. It's just ad hominems, straw man, and the typical baseless responses from atheists." Actually, Mr. Nobody, they have refuted nearly every statement you have made. You simply refuse to recognize that fact. Your only defense to arguments against which you have no response is to cry ad hominem in every case, as if that were an answer. He wrote, "In the delusional atheist world, Newton was a crackpot, so Newton's geometric proofs must be wrong. Ramanujan had no college education and flunked out of college more than once, so his theorems are wrong." I don't really understand how you can flunk out of college multiple times and not have any college education. But as long as it makes sense to It's Nobody, I guess that's all that really matters. And then he adds, "Faraday had no education after the age of 13, so his experiments and ideas are useless." Mr. Nobody, excellent examples of the straw man logical fallacy. He said, "I think it is funny that you do not understand the difference between name-calling and an ad hominem." Mr. Nobody, go back and find my statement on projection. You did it again. He said, "If I claim that someone is foolish and then go on to refute their statement, that's not an ad hominem. That's just name-calling. If I claim that someone is foolish without refuting their statement, then that would be an ad hominem." Mr. Nobody, refutation has nothing to do with the ad hominem logical fallacy. Your last argument proves that you haven't got a clue what the hell you're talking about. And that's really bad news for you, because you've invested 100% of your defenses in that one fallacy, which you misunderstand. He wrote, "Proper grammar or prescriptive grammar is just man-made rules that have no basis in linguistics." Mr. Nobody, Since, A, linguistics is the study of man-made language, and B, grammar is a system of rules and principles for man-made language, then C, it would seem you are full of shit. Again. And dude, you used an alternative spelling of man-made. An alternative, in this context, is not a compliment. Like nearly all ghost worshippers, your grammatical abilities are roughly on a par with second-year ESL students. He wrote, also anyone can make spelling or grammar errors while typing quickly, especially on this laptop keyboard. Mr. Nobody, you people always have excuses ready for all your screw-ups. If you spent more time researching instead of talking to your invisible friends, you might not embarrass yourself as often. He wrote, also, when people have highly original thoughts, it is often difficult to express those thoughts in words. So expressing highly original thoughts may cause one to violate prescriptive grammar rules. Yes, Mr. Nobody, we've noticed. But what you attribute to genius is more likely attributable to mental laziness. He wrote, in other words, using proper grammar is really an indication of nothing. Mr. Nobody, the way you are backpedaling, I assume that one of the commenters must have pointed out some of your errors. So since you've rationalized away these errors, does that still mean that your writing is flawless? He said, I haven't published any peer-reviewed articles or papers yet, but why would that matter? Mr. Nobody, the commenter didn't say it mattered. He only asked you if you had. Obviously, the peacock got his feathers ruffled on that one. He wrote, oh wait, I forgot. All that matters in science now that atheists have taken over is authority and incredulity instead of what's actually valid and true. Mr. Nobody, that statement demonstrates that in addition to all your other misunderstandings, we can add a misunderstanding of science as well. Science is only concerned with what's valid and true. On the other hand, your little fairy world could care less. Your beliefs are only based on the authority of ancient goat herders, who claimed that an invisible ghost was telling them what to write down. He said, contrary to what delusional atheists believe, something existing in peer-reviewed journals doesn't make it valid, and something not existing in peer-reviewed journals doesn't make it invalid. I've read so many things in peer-reviewed journals that contain flaws and errors. Mr. Nobody, based on what I've read on your website, I would venture to guess that you have never read a peer-reviewed journal, nor, even if you had, would you be capable of spotting errors in them. He said, you have claimed that I lack intelligence, but have not given any reasons. Mr. Nobody, the problem isn't so much your lack of intelligence, though that is a part of it, but mainly that you are overstocked on arrogance. He wrote, as for being the smartest debater in the world or in all of human history, I really am, but that's really a subjective opinion, unless, of course, you found a way to objectively measure it. Mr. Nobody, from what I've seen, you could debate Sarah Palin and lose. His final reply was, what I actually care about is bringing out this enjoyment already within. Mr. Nobody, you're the last person I would describe as having enjoyment within. However, you have provided intense enjoyment for rational people. Rational people sometimes get depressed too, and sometimes feel inadequate. Then someone like you comes along, and suddenly they realize that things could be a whole lot worse. Mr. Nobody, the only thing you did get right was the name of your website. It's Nobody. And now for the science segment. Moderate drinking decreases the number of new brain cells. Drinking a couple of glasses of wine each day has generally been considered a good way to promote cardiovascular and brain health. But a new study indicates that there is a fine line between moderate and binge drinking. binge drinking being defined as drinking less during the week and more on the weekends, a risky behavior that significantly reduces the structural integrity of the adult brain and can decrease the making of adult brain cells by as much as 40%. Moderate drinking can become binge drinking without the person realizing it. In the short term, there may not be any noticeable motor skills or overall functioning problems, but in the long term, this type of behavior could have an adverse effect on learning and memory. Researchers modeled moderate to heavy drinking in humans using rodents that reached a blood alcohol level of 0.08%, the legal driving limit in the United States and many other countries, and found that brain cell production was affected negatively. The researchers discovered that at this level of intoxication in rats, comparable to about 3 to 4 drinks for women and 5 drinks for men, the number of nerve cells in the hippocampus of the brain were reduced by nearly 40% compared to those in the abstinent group of rodents. The hippocampus is a part of the brain where new neurons are made and is also known to be necessary for some types of new learning. This level of alcohol intake was not enough to impair the motor skills of either the male or the female rats or prevent them from associative learning in the short term. Still, this substantial decrease in brain cell numbers over time could have profound effects on the structural plasticity of the adult brain because these new cells communicate with other neurons to regulate brain health. If this area of your brain was affected every day over many months and years, eventually you might not be able to learn how to get somewhere new or to learn something new about your life. It's something that you might not even be aware is occurring. According to the National Institute of Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism, men who drink 14 drinks a week and women who drink 7 are considered at-risk drinkers. Although college students commonly binge drink, 70% of binge drinking episodes involved adults age 26 and older. This research indicates that social or daily drinking may be more harmful to brain health than what is now believed by the general public. And now for the final segment of the show, famous quotes. Today, Neil deGrasse Tyson. Since he has been previously quoted, I will not repeat his biography. Here is the quote from Neil deGrasse Tyson. The good thing about science is that it's true, whether or not you believe in it.
Are you ready, Bruce? Start walking.